My wife and I count this church to be dear friends of ours, and I don't want to contradict your pastor, but I can tell you this right now, I've got a lot more from him than he's ever got from me, and that's just truth to matter, and the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron, and Brother Veach has been a dear friend since we did finally get to know each other after a couple of years of me coming here without him, and I'm thinking, this is going good. What if I don't like him, you know? What if he don't like me? Man, this is kind of, Brother Pat and I hit it off good, but I don't know. But I was told by mutual friends that we'd hit it off, and the Lord, that came to pass. But more than that, I believe the Lord knit our hearts together, and it's because of a common love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already said it. And if it wasn't for the Lord, many of us wouldn't even know each other. If it wasn't for the Lord, even if we did, we wouldn't like each other. So what a privilege it is to be back and to stand in this pulpit. And the responsibility is great, but our trust is in the Lord this morning. And take your Bible now, open it to Romans chapter 13. Let me say this, there's a radio program called Unshackled. Anybody ever heard of Unshackled? And they do people's testimonies. They've been doing that, I think, since 1950, I heard, out of Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. And last year, they got in touch with me and asked if I would submit my testimony to them. And so I worked on that for a couple of months while I was trying to get the book finalized. All that came about while we were here last year. And finally, they recorded that thing on January 14th in Chicago. And broadcast in May. They wanted my wife and I to come there. They invite the subject of the broadcast to be there for the live performance and the dramatization of it. And it's pretty neat. I've never been to one, but I toured the mission up there in Chicago. It's pretty neat. And they said, Brother Spurgeon, we'd love to have you and your wife come. And I said, well, I won't be able to come. I have a speaking engagement that weekend. And that happened to be with Pastor Lyndall Kincaid. And I met him that weekend and spent the day in that church. And I know it's very close to this church. As a matter of fact, I got the meeting because of this church. And I'll be going back for an 8-day meeting in January. And again, because of this church. So we weren't there for the broadcast, but I heard it. And, they did a good job as far as that goes. They gave me a master copy, and I had master copies made for each of the churches that I preach in. And I've turned one over to your sound booth. If anybody wants to hear it, not for sale. Now you have it on file. If somebody wants it, somebody wants to hear it. If you think it might be something that maybe somebody else would like to listen to get them to the Lord. So it is now part of your vast library and available to you, and we just appreciate your prayers. Romans chapter 13 Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Now let's begin at verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Neither one of those two things in verse 12 are going to happen automatically. They both are going to require effort on our part, that casting, amen, and that casting off the works of darkness and that putting on the armor of light. But it can be done, and it needs to be done, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. But verse number 11 has a word in it that is repeated twice that got my attention, and it's going to have your attention in a minute, because I want to preach on the subject this morning, now. Now, it says now it is high time to awake out of sleep. And if there's something that's going on in the churches in America today, a bunch of them have lulled themselves to sleep, and not much is getting done for the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's just the sad reality of the situation. Amen. And so for that crowd, it's time to wake up, because our redemption draweth nigh. We've sang about the Lord coming back, and every time somebody makes a speech, I want to go outside and just wait, because surely any minute. I mean, things are unfolding exactly the way the Lord predicted. I'm glad I'm ready to go. But until then, I want to be awake and willing and able, amen, and to do what the Lord has had us to do. And for now, then it goes on and says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Listen, when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in a jail cell 21 years ago, I was acutely aware that the Lord had given me another chance to get my sins forgiven. And after blowing it many times in the first 37 years of my life, praise the Lord, one day common sense prevailed. And I bowed not just my knee, but my heart to the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, he did something. I had no clue what was going to happen. I just knew I deserved to go to hell. Amen. I mean, I wasn't pious enough to try to convince anybody I wasn't a sinner. Amen. And I was willing to admit that. And it just made logical sense to me that no sin was going to be going to heaven, because as a lost man, I knew God was holy. Amen. And so he made that way. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God made a way for our sins to be forgiven. And I believed on him 21 and a half years ago in a jail cell. And praise the Lord, I felt then like I got in by the skin of my teeth. Amen. But now it's been this number of years, and some of you have been saved a lot longer than that, like your pastor, a lot longer than that. Amen. But the passage says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. There's an urgency to this thing. And the word the Lord uses to kind of spur us is that word in that passage, now. So I'm going to preach on now. Here's why. Maybe when I was a kid, you didn't need a dictionary to figure out what he meant. Amen. And when he said now, that's what it meant. My dad was a gracious man and a very good father and a kind father. Amen. Went on to be at the Lord 2 years ago. Amen. But he's a serious man too. He is a carpenter. In 1955, he sawed off two fingers with a power saw. Only they landed in the sawdust, and that was it. They weren't able to reattach them, and he could still swing a 28-ounce framing hammer with three fingers. Amen. He had big old arms. My dad came to one of my daughter's weddings in Ohio, and he was standing back at the back of the church. He's from Tennessee, and he's standing back there like this with his fingers cut off, and one of the people yelled from our church, "Hello, Mr. Spurgeon," and my dad's like this, you know, and one of the kids said, "Brother Spurgeon's dad's giving gang signs." Amen. Said, no, not really. I mean, he just saw those fingers off. Amen. But when I was a kid, and my dad, if he said now, that's what he meant. And, you know, come to think of it, so did my mom. Amen. And then I get to look at this passage, and twice in the verse, we've got the Lord saying now, and listen, this isn't a deep theology. It just makes sense to me that when God says now, he means now. Amen. So that's what we're going to preach on. Let's pray again. Father, I love you. Oh, God, am I thankful to be here? Am I thankful to be in church this morning instead of a hospital or jail or somewhere with a hangover? Amen. Am I thankful, Lord God, to be walked in the blood of Jesus Christ? And Father, I may remember my past, but I'm glad you don't. And Father, as I look forward to you coming, Father, I also look forward to serving with like-minded brothers and sisters in the faith, Lord, between now and that day. And so, Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts today. I pray you'd give me the ability to just say what you once said, something that might help us all just appreciate our salvation more, or get busy, or get right, or whatever the need is, Father. I pray your sweet spirit would impress upon our hearts to be honest with ourselves and deal with the need, and at the end of this thing, leave closer to you than when we walked in. And Father God, if there's someone in here that is not saved, does not know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven would be their home when they die, not if, I pray that today you'd make it easy for them to understand that now is their salvation more urgent than ever. And Father, please, I pray this in the name that is above every name. And most of all, really, Lord, I just pray you'd be pleased with it. And God, if that could be the case, if you could be pleased by everything that goes on in this room, in this building, both sides of the pulpit, Father, we will have done, we'll have accomplished my goal today. You deserve it. Please, Lord, I pray now you'd meet with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now is the subject, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. The Bible says this, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. If there's a description for many of us in this room, and spiritually speaking, every one of us, but boy, when I look at that term, ye who are sometimes far off, boy, I just say this, I resemble that remark, and I rejoice as well in the fact that the verse says, but now in Christ Jesus, those of us that were are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It says now. Can I tell you something this morning? Just to help you. Nothing that you haven't already been taught. You haven't already studied out. You don't already know. Just a reaffirmation. That's what preaching does many times. That's what meetings like that do. Let me help you with something this morning. If you're saved, you're saved right now. You're saved right now. Say, well, that's pretty basic. Well, it might be here, but there's a lot of places. There's literally millions of Americans in church this hour, amen, that don't understand that, that don't grasp that, that don't rejoice in the confidence of knowing that their sins are gone. But if you're saved in here because you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I just want to again remind you that you're saved right now. You're saved right now. In Romans 5 verse 9, the Bible says, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Listen, if you're saved, you're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because you turned over a new leaf. Not because you're a good person. Not because you're in church this morning. If you're saved, you're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That says being now justified. Let me tell you something this morning. We can live for God. We can have victory through Jesus Christ. We are children of God. Amen. Yes, we are sinners saved by grace. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, this morning. If you're saved right now. Therefore, you can act like it. You can live like it. You can rejoice in the confidence that your name is in the book of life. Amen. It says in Romans chapter 11 and verse 30, for as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Listen, I'll tell you, if you're saved here this morning, that's what you obtained. Amen. You obtained mercy. That book says in Ephesians chapter 2, but God, who is rich in mercy. And I'll tell you today, if there's anything God needed to be rich in to save the likes of us, it was mercy. But I'll tell you what, His mercy endureth forever. There's no shortage of mercy. Amen. And I'm thankful today that, hey, if you're saved, you've obtained mercy, amen, through God, from God. In 1 John chapter 3, watch what it says in verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Amen. Right now, if you're born again, if you're washed in the blood, amen, you're part of the family, like Brother Pat said. You're a son of God. You're a child of God right now. That verse goes on to say, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Listen, it says, it does not appear what we shall be, but I'll tell you what, if you're saved in there this morning, you can rejoice in this right here. You're not what you were. Amen. You're a child of God right now, it says. Amen. Here's a good witness technique. It works for me. Amen. I used to ask people, I used to say, do you know where you're going when you die? No, I just say, hey, what are you counting on to keep you out of hell? That's kind of an icebreaker right there. Amen. You get all kinds of responses for that. Oh, I don't believe in hell. I went, whoa, why didn't I think of that? Amen, Jesus. Amen. You ask people, and you do personal work in this church. You believe in personal work. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. This church isn't asleep. Praise the Lord. There's people in here this morning that are saved because this church isn't asleep. Yeah, I would amen that if I was a member of this church. Want to try it again? Amen. Amen. But I'm telling you something, maybe in the course of your personal work, you might say to someone, well, do you know where you're going when you die? People know they're going to die. You don't have to convince them they're going to die. That's something people know. But here's what you'll find out if you ask that question. If there's any honesty in them at all, most people don't know. Most people don't know where they're going. A lot of people hope where they're going. They pray. But if you ask them if they know, and truth of the matter is, if you ask a person if they're saved, a whole lot of people, they don't know that they're saved, but they're hoping that they are. I'm glad to know today that there's a lot of things I don't know, and there's some things I struggle with, but I know this, I'm saved right now. I'm saved right now. Amen. I run into people that said, well, it's impossible to know beyond the shadow of a doubt. Amen. Well, maybe you were taught that way. A lot of people were taught that way. I grew up in a church that didn't believe you're saved now. Amen. But, as many people as you ask, you might get that many different ideas. I just decided to let's see what the Bible says. And the Word of God this morning says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm just happy today. I rejoice today. I'm glad to know that I'm saved right now. Right now. I'm not waiting to be saved. I'm not waiting to get to the pearly gates. Listen, I don't know whoever assigned St. Peter to be the doorman of heaven, but a lot of people sure seem to act like that's in the Bible. I keep missing that every time I read through. Listen, I can't see any doorman there, but I know the gate's going to swing wide because my name's in the book of life. It's in there right now. Amen. And if you're saved, so is yours. Amen. So is yours. Amen. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, Word of God says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now listen, by virtue of being the dad, I was the principal of our Christian homeschool. We literally redefined the term school bus because we lived in a bus and it was the school. Amen. And I am the dad. But technically, the administrator, the educated one, the educator, if you will, wasn't me. It was my wife. Amen. My wife had the burden of teaching the children algebra and English. And I'm still working on English personally. And history and all those things. I don't take any credit for that. Say, Brother Spurgeon, what did you do? I'm in charge of field trips. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. That bus, we've had a lot of field trips. Amen. I love New York City. There's a lot to do. I can call a field trip at the drop of the hat and drop the hat myself. My kids loved that Dad was in charge of field trip. But I just got to confess to you, she's the educated one. She's the educator. But I got enough sense to know that that verse in John chapter 5, verse 24, when it says, hath everlasting life, is past. From death, I got enough sense to know that's present tense, beloved. That's right now. Are you saved? Yes. Are you saved this morning? I got good news for you. You're saved right now. Amen. 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 We already knew that. Well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. I don't doubt that you did. Therefore, take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, it says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Now, that's a good subject with God. God's not like us. God's not a procrastinator. Amen. God's interested in things happening now. And Romans chapter 6, verse 19, Paul wrote this right here. He said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. He's writing this to believers. He's writing this to a local New Testament church, not unlike what we have gathered in here this morning. And you were sinners, but now something happened, and now, he says, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So, if you're saved, yeah, this is good news. You're saved right now. But since you are, well, you need to get a hold of this right here. You need to get a hold of the fact you're supposed to serve Jesus Christ right now. Right now. It says, even so, now yield your members servants. Hey, we are all, that is not to a preacher's fellowship. That's not a missions conference. Romans chapter 6, doctrinally, that's to every born-again believer. There's some responsibility that goes with being saved. And thank God for the confidence that we have that if He finished the work on the cross of Calvary. Thank God for that. But I'm going to tell you something now. If you got it, if you got in on the best God had to offer, there's some responsibility. And you need to get a hold of this thing right here. And you need to realize that you need to serve God now. Not later. Now. Preacher said, invite people to the meeting. Amen. No. If you wait till next Saturday to invite your neighbor to the meeting, guess what? The meeting will have been over. If you wait. And there's some things that need to be attended to. Again, with a sense of urgency. Like the now. Amen. Now, take your Bible, go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And let's look at a couple of the saddest verses in the King James Bible. John chapter 1, the Bible says this. In verse number 10, the Bible says, He was in the world. Now, the context is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the world. And the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I bet you if Bill Gates walked into the whatever factory it is that he started, whatever company, Microsoft, I bet you they'd recognize him. Probably got his picture in the lobby. I bet you 100 years ago, if Henry Ford dropped by the Ford plant in Dearborn, Michigan, I mean, if they had a hint that he was coming, they'd have started cleaning and spit polishing. Some of us are veterans. Boy, if we knew there was an inspection coming, we made sure everything was tip-top. Listen, that Bible says the world was made by the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, and it says that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Thank you, preacher. He knew what I was looking for. Amen. And then, that's a sad reality, sad truth, but it gets worse before it gets better. Look in verse number 11. Verse number 11, it says this, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Amen. It just goes from bad to worse. He created the world. The world didn't recognize him. But then he came unto those that he had been prophesied to come to, those that were familiar with scriptures, those that knew their Messiah was going to come, and he came unto them and they knew him not. Like I said, it got, it went from bad to worse before it gets better. Thank God for verse 12. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you're saved in here, that's how you got saved. You believed on the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Pat quoted a verse, neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of that name, the ability to believe in that name. I hope you've received him this morning. I hope you he saved you this morning. But if he has, it says that he gave you some power. Now, you know, I'm thinking that through and I'm trying to figure out, okay, why would he give us power? He didn't give us the power to be saved. He gave us power after we got saved. It says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power and to become the sons of God. And I said, well, what's that for? What do we need power for? And you know what that power's for? That's not for you to do whatever you want. That's not for you to go anywhere you want. That's not for you to pick and choose what you're going to do or when you're going to go. He's given us, listen, if you're born again this morning, if you're saved, you're saved now. But if you're saved, you ought to understand something. Paul wrote, our apostle wrote, that you're right now, but now, yield yourselves servants unto righteousness. And you can. Because he gave us the power to do that. He gave us the ability and the power. He gave us something when we became children of God. He gave us something to do what he wants us to do that we couldn't do before. And that's the power to serve God with our lives. Amen. So that's what you need to get a hold of. And that's not this day, this week, this revival, this summer. But, I mean, if you're saved between now and when the Lord either comes back or takes us home individually, it really doesn't matter. I had a lady, an elderly lady one time, and she said, oh, Brother Spurgeon, I hope the Lord comes back soon. And I said, hey, sister, so do I. And then she added this. She said, I don't want to miss the rapture, she said. And I looked at her and I said, you don't have to worry about that. Ain't nobody missing that. I said, matter of fact, those that go home be of the Lord, they get to go first. It says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. But between now and then, however it comes, however being present with the Lord, however that comes, if you're a believer in here this morning, between now and then, we're supposed to serve Jesus Christ. This isn't optional. This isn't a social organization. This isn't a club, this is the realest thing that's ever been on the planet Earth, and it's the most exclusive thing that's ever been on the planet of the Earth. And I'm not into elitism, but my Bible says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And that statement, it concerns the whole scope of human history. Sometimes I pray, and tears come to my eyes, that I even realize that I made it into this few, that's eternal few that got their sin. Are you saved in here today? Listen, I'm going to tell you what, there ought to be an appreciation. Listen, we live in a flesh that doesn't appreciate the things of God because it's preoccupied with the things of itself. But I'm going to tell you something, if there's something we ought to not take for granted, we ought to keep our guard off against taking for granted is the fact that, man, we are, listen, I'm streets of gold and live forever and all that, worshiping in heaven. Praise the Lord for all that thing. But I'm going to tell you what, it's by the skin of our teeth. We're not all on our way to hell. He's worthy of our service. He deserves our service. And so I just want to say, you know, if you're saved, you're saved now. You got that. You had that before we ever came in here this morning. I'm confident. I know what you're taught here. I know what you believe here. I get help when I come here. I know you do. But maybe I'm going to try to help you on this Sunday morning to get a hold of the fact that this isn't just another religious thing we're doing here. Like Pat so aptly said, I am a firm believer in everything. That preacher didn't bring any religion to the county jail. He didn't have any. I didn't get any. I still don't have any. I'm glad I got a relationship with the living God. People change organizations, but if you ever get in a relationship with somebody you love, even when you mess up, it'll bother you and you'll be provoked to get it right. Boy, and there have been times I know my conduct hasn't pleased the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank God that it's bothered me enough to fall on my face. The Bible said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beloved, that's a relationship. No religion, no organization, no social event has that kind of power. You need to purpose in your heart that you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and serve Him now while you can. And you can. You can. And don't wait. I said this in English. I said, don't wait till all your ducks are in a row. That's what we do. That's what Americans do. If my husband would get right with God, if my wife would get right with God, if my kid, if my pastor would get, you'd never pray that. You better never pray that. Amen. But we got all, if my finances, if my education, if my circumstances, if my health, if God, if you just get that right, then I'll serve you. I told him in England, I said, don't wait till you get all your ducks in a row. You don't have any reason to believe, right? To believe. All your ducks will ever even get in the same pond. That's when I lost them. I mean, you think bringing a country boy to New York City's odd? Think about taking Dave Spurgeon to preach in England. Somebody said, that's kind of like putting whipped cream on an onion, isn't it? Amen. And amen. And so I said that about ducks in a row, and I lost them, man. What's that mean? What's that? So sometimes expressions don't translate well. But I'm going to tell you what, whatever your circumstance is, every one of us has a power, an ability, and a responsibility to live for Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? It means that we ought to be serving God. Yield your members, servants, unto righteousness. Amen. If you're saved, you're saved right now. But you need to understand you need to serve God. When? Right now. If you're not, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Amen. I challenged the church one time. Listen, if you're not living for God, I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're full of the devil. Amen. That's a different message. Be sure to be here all week. I'll get you one way or another. But listen, if you're not sold out in hide, hair, and all, let me just challenge you. Give it a try. 6 months, get a calendar. When I was in the military, we had a short-timer calendar. Boy, we got down 180 days every day. We marked off a day. We marked off a day. Finally, I had a pair of jump boots with a helmet sitting on it. You remember that? Amen. 21 days, you know, short. We're getting out of here. Take a calendar. Mark off 180 days. Pray over it. Lay it on the floor. Pray over it. Say, for these 180 days, 6 months, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. I'm challenging you to. So what does that mean? Read your Bible every single day. Amen. I mean, you know, Psalm a day, that's fine. That's not really studying to show yourself approved. You know what I mean? I'm talking about get in your Bible every day. Every day. Asking God to speak to your heart. He will. Okay. Well, I don't know. Well, just try it. I'm just challenging you. Try it. Try it. 6 months, read your Bible. Pray. Pray. I mean, like he really might be listening. I say, yeah, well, that's not how most people pray. Oh, Father in heaven, no. Come on, man. You know what? I was in Bible school, and a preacher was teaching us how to, he's trying to say, okay, this is how you pray. This is how you pray. And I want to hear. He said, just go in your bedroom, sit down in a chair, kneel if you want, but he made it real simple. Just sit in a chair, shut the door, and start talking to God like he's in there with you. That's what a relationship is. That's how real it is. Man, we get some kind of ideas that it's some kind of religious thing. And it man, try it for 6 months. I mean, just faithfully, just every day. Just bring in your petitions for the Lord with supplication. Acknowledge who He is. He's worthy of that. But you don't have to spend 2 hours flattering Him. Just talk to Him like He really cares, because He really cares. Do that every day for 6 months. Amen. Amen. Don't miss a service. Don't miss a service for them 180 days. I mean, whatever your habits are now, that's your business. But I'm trying to tell you that God has given you the power to serve God, and you ought to serve Him, and your apostle said you ought to serve Him. So let's try it like this. I'm not calling anybody into the mission field. I'm not calling anybody into any ministry. I'm telling you that every Christian has a responsibility. Amen. Some of you are in here today. Some of you are saved here today, because some other Christians in this very room, some of them right now, took that responsibility seriously. Amen. Some of you have some victory in your life. Some of you have some Bible in your heart. Some of you have some fine children that I got the privilege to minister to a couple of days, because others in this very church took this thing about serving God seriously. This isn't magic, man. This doesn't automatically happen. And the testimony of mankind is that it spirals down, not up. Put some tracts in your pocket. Put some tracts in your purse. Pray. I mean, for 6 months, 180 days. Take out one. Start somewhere. Take out five. Take out and say, God, give me an opportunity to hand out. I mean, just try it for 6 months. Like, just whole hog. You hear me? See what happens. You know, if you do that for 6 months, and you can tell me when I come back next year, if the Lord comes back, start without me and Him, but amen. No. You do that for 6 months. When I come back, and you honestly come up to me and say, Brother Spurgeon, I took the challenge. I read my Bible every day. I talked to God every day. I witnessed every day. I made every service. I got in on the outreach ministries, the Operation Jerusalem, Rescue Mission. I just really for 6 months did what you said, and I regret it. I will call you, in Jesus' name, a liar. I'm going to tell you what. You know why Christians are sad? Because they got too much world in them to enjoy God. And too much God in them to enjoy the world. And I'm telling you tonight, that, or today, I don't know why I keep saying that, because I don't know what time it is, I guess. Man, it is a joy. I thank God for the privilege to be a son of God. I thank God for the confidence He gives us. That we don't have to worry if some thought or deed or word has cost us our salvation. I would go insane. I was so glad that I got saved. If I thought something I said, now I'm on my way to hell again. That's why people quit. That's why people, what an emotional roller coaster. God didn't intend that for us. But I tell you what, along with the confidence and the security that He gives, there also He gives an ability, it says a power, that we can conduct ourselves like children of God. We can make a difference. We can stand out in a very spiritually dark. Listen, if you turned all the lights off on this place and it actually really was night, like I keep saying, and it was pitch black in here, and you lit one candle, it'd be amazing. Everybody in the room would see it. Not enough light to read your Bible, not enough light. But I'll tell you, that's the way it is, man. This world is so spiritually dark. If one Christian really, really would take that thing seriously about letting our light so shine before men, somebody'd see it. Somebody'd say, what is that? Somebody, you could say, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about my Savior. You're saved right now, but I set you up, didn't I? You need to be serving God right now, too. Amen? Now, all right, maybe you're saved in here, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. There's a good spirit in here. You may be saved in here today, and you're doctrinally sound, and you know you're saved, and you're going to go to heaven. You know that. That's good. And maybe you know this too. Maybe you know. You understand. You don't have any problem at all. It's clear from the Scripture. It just makes sense. The Bible says in Romans 12 that presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, is just reasonable service in light of the fact that He gave His life for us. You may know all that stuff. You may be in agreement with that. But as I speak and as I sit here and as I try to encourage, you know that even though you should serve God, you can't. You can't. And here's why. Go to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, and look with me in verses 1 and 2. You know you should. You don't have any problem with admitting that, but something's gotten in the way. And so it says in Isaiah 59, verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." You know, you can be washed in the blood, born again child of God, and sin gets some victory in your life, and the next thing you know, you're not going to lose your salvation, but you can sure enough cut off the communication and the fellowship that you have with God. That's exactly what it says. Your sins have separated you between you and your God. Can I just say to you, and it's a great time because we're in church, and it's a great time because it's the first service of the meeting. And if you're saved and you know it, praise the Lord. And if you know you ought to serve God and you know that too, praise the Lord. And maybe you did, but just within the honesty of your own spirit, you know that you've let something in that grieves the Holy Spirit of God, something in that's done some damage to your testimony, something hasn't cost you your salvation, but it has cost you your ability to serve God. You know, this is real deep. Could I encourage you to be honest with yourself about whatever that thing is and get it right? Amen. Now. Why wait? Listen, we're not sinless. That day's coming. Amen. What a crying shame is that there's churches that are meeting this morning and everybody feels some need to act like they're sinless and wouldn't dare let anybody know we're less than perfect. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I got your number. You're not perfect. You know why I know that? Because I checked in the mirror this morning, and that book says all flesh is grass. And I'm going to tell you what, best thing any of us got going for us is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's got a grace. That Bible says, "Let us come therefore boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy." And I'm going to tell you why we need mercy, because we still sin. Mercy is what you get from a judge in lieu of judgment. And I'm going to tell you what, we need mercy. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, if you've got something going on in your life tonight, something today, something that's grieved your spirit and keeping you from being the testimony you ought to be, being the encouragement you ought to be, being the servant of God you ought to be, beloved, get honest with God and get the thing right. I heard a preacher say it like this one time. Don't make God reveal a sin in your life that you and Him already know about, and He'd like for you to get it right while it's just between you and Him. Don't push it. Keep short accounts. Listen, nobody's going to look down on you. I mean, nobody's going to, there's no list. If you need to talk to God, if you need to get something right with God, why don't you do that? Why don't you do it now? Don't wait. Get back in the saddle. Amen. You really can. I'm going to tell you what, there's a very, very important reason to get whatever needs to be dealt with, honestly, right now. And here's the reason. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, look at verse 19. We'll read that one. Mark chapter 5 and verse 19. This hit me like a ton of bricks one day. Howbeit, nope, that's not the verse I wanted. I want Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 15. This is why it's important to get things right now. Verse 15, "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart." You know why it's important to deal with things now? while the Spirit of God is bearing witness to the Word of God, while the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart. You know why it's important to deal with it then? We just acknowledge things. Yeah, I need to do something about that. Don't put this on your list of things to do. There's a supernatural force at hand, and that book says He cometh immediately, and it comes specifically to steal the word that's sown. That's what we're doing right now. We're sowing the Word of God. I'm not going to impress you today with my preaching with any great theological depth. We're sowing the Word of God. The Word of God is what doesn't return void. The Word of God is what makes a difference in a person's life. The Word of God, the devil is well aware how powerful it is. And the parable there is to explain to us that you got to deal with the Word of God and the Spirit of God while He's dealing with you, because the forces of His world, His kingdom, work together immediately. What He's saying, the devil doesn't need 10 verses of "just as I am" to get moving. If you do, chances are you'll never get moving. And as soon as you get up and you get to talking and get to fellowship and get your car and the radio comes on, you get to the restaurant, you get to the whatever it is you do in the act, and the devil's just working and working and working, and the word is diluted, diluted, diluted. Say, what are you saying, Brother Spurgeon? Deal with it now. My call to preach come out of Mark chapter 5, verse 19. It says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, talking about the maniac Gadara, amen. That was one of my friends. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Are you saved in here today? Boy, did the Lord do a great thing for you. Saved? You're not just saved, but you're in church this morning. That's compassion. That's the compassion that He has, that He cares not just about our eternal soul. He said in Luke chapter 9, I came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I'll tell you what, I look around this room here, y'all looking very nice today. Let's face it, even old bikers clean up pretty good, all things considered. The Lord Jesus Christ is concerned with more than just our soul. He's concerned with our life. He's had compassion. He's been good. He's done great things in our lives in eternity and in this life. And listen, sometimes when the cares of this life and the opposition, the adversaries of this life, amen, cause us to get bogged down by a world of care, and sin gets in and we don't get it out, we don't get it confessed, and the baggage of unconfessed sin just seems to pile up. And do what I do. Just go back and remind yourself that God's been good to you. Why? Because the Bible says in Romans 2, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Boy, no matter what's going on in your life today, God's giving you another chance to get it right. God's giving you another chance. Hey, get it under the blood. Amen. Do it now, man. Do it now. Amen. Don't wait. Don't wait. If you're saved, you're saved right now. You're saved now. Now you need to be serving God. You need to be serving. I'm not calling anybody into anything. I'm telling you, He said, yield your members. You know what that, yield, what's that mean? That means allow. That means let go and let God direct. You're saved now. If you're saved now, you need to serve God now. And if you can't because something's got in there, welcome to the family. Get it right. God made getting right with God as easy as He made getting saved in the first place. Say, what do you got to do? Get honest with Him. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man, we got our own heart that deceives us and thinking, well, I'm doing this and I guess it doesn't make God happy, but compared to so-and-so, well, you're not going to be. And your relationship with God and the peace of God doesn't have anything to do with what anybody else is doing. There's something between you and your Savior today. I'm not saying it's cost your salvation. I'm not saying you're not a fine person. But if there's something preventing you from yielding your members, servants, unto righteousness, unto holiness, get it right. You can't. Man, if you didn't hear that in church, where do you think you're going to hear it? On television? All right, here's what I say last of all. I don't know if that means I'm close to being done or not, but this is just something we say. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Part of the job of an evangelist is to dangle people. Amen. It doesn't work here. I preach here. You guys don't rush out the door. You hang around. You ain't no hurry. I ain't either. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2, the Bible says this, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Could I tell you something this morning? If you're in our midst, and I know we don't have very many visitors, that doesn't mean anything. You might be in here today. This might be your 100th visit. If you're in here today and you're not saved, I mean really not saved, I love this church. Brother Dean starts the song service with an invitation to trust Jesus Christ. Talk about out of the box. Amen. I mean, didn't you read the bulletin? You're supposed to wait. You get 13 seconds at the end of the service. I love it. Why? Because it would be faulty for us to assume that everybody who made it in the door is saved. If you're in here today and you're not, could I encourage you to get saved now? Yeah. Today would be a great day to get saved. I can't think of a bad day to get saved, but this would really be a good day. Take your Bible, go to Luke chapter 16, I'll tell you why. Luke chapter 16, look with me in verse 23. When I first heard the gospel preached, this is what the preacher preached. Cheered me right up. Yeah, I'm already looking at 37 years in prison, and the guy comes in and preaches a nice, sweet, sharing, kind message about burning in hell. I thought, well, thanks. Every chaplain ever came to visit me in jail before tried to say, Jesus loves you and everything's going to be all right. That's what they'd say. That's how they keep their income. I had a preacher that was a volunteer, and he came in and he said, Jesus loves you enough that he allowed them to nail him to a cross so that the blood he shed could wash away all your sin. That's greater love hath no man than this. There's a thing about the love of God that is incomprehensible. But also he said this, but if you die in your sin, Jesus loves you, but if you die in your sin, it's not going to be all right. That thing goes for you and I this morning. He preached to me out of Luke chapter 16 and verse 23. It says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You know, this guy, well, he recognized Lazarus. I mean, he recognized Abraham. He knew to ask for mercy. And what I'm saying, this guy's probably been at church. This guy's no dummy. He's a successful man. I mean, we could preach it that he's one of those rich 1%, you know, guys like that. We could, but Bible doesn't indicate he's wicked at all. Bible indicates he's very successful. That's not in and of itself a sin, but the crime is that he stepped into hell, he stepped into eternity without his sins forgiven. And you know what the first thing he did? He asked for mercy. And he didn't get it. Because he waited too late. Tormented in flame. Now he's ready to ask for mercy. He didn't get it. Time ran out. I got good news for you today. Well, let's put it like this. Good news and bad news. You might be the greatest person on the island. You step into eternity without your sins forgiven, amen, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you'll end up with this guy. Now, he's been there about almost 2,000 years. Amen? Weeping, wailing, gnashing his teeth, and full well knowing he didn't have to be there. But he waited. If you wait, you can know all about this stuff, and if you wait, you will bow your knee. You will confess with your tongue the Lord Jesus. That's what he's doing. Now he's ready for mercy, but he didn't get it. The good news is, you can ask for mercy today, and you will get it. If you're not saved, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. If you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt, heaven will be your home in eternity. And I said, no. I didn't say feel or hope or think. I mean, according to the Word of God, if you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt, heaven will be your eternity. The Bible says you can know, and the Bible says it's time to know. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Let one of us open a Bible. Man with a man, lady with a lady, outside, in the room, on the roof, I don't care. Let us open a Bible, show you what the Word of God says, answer your questions from the Word of God about how you can know that your sins can be forgiven. I'm going to tell you what. In a room this size with as many people as we've got in here, there's a lot of wisdom, there's a lot of knowledge, there's a lot of experience. But I'm going to tell you what, at the end of the day, the most important thing anybody could ever know, some of these children know. They know where they're going to go in eternity. And if you're not sure, you can leave here knowing that. Amen? Maybe you claim to be saved, but you realize you're not. Get saved today. Get saved now. Maybe you thought you were. I'm not here to talk anybody out of their salvation. I'm not a retreader. But if the honesty of your own spirit, somewhere along the way, you've made a profession, and but you just realize that, you know, there's a joy that others seem to have. There's something that's getting them excited. I don't. Maybe you just, in the honesty, again, of your own spirit, you realize you're not. You know, could I say to you, you need to get saved. You need to get saved now. Amen? This would be a great place. This would be a great day. Amen? This would be a great crowd to get saved with. Amen? Like Brother Pat said, this really is the family of God. Amen? If you're saved, you're saved now. But you need to serve God now. Now, maybe you never looked at it that way, or maybe you have, and you know, and you've heard it, and you haven't, and maybe you need to just do something about that. Maybe you need just purpose in your heart. Maybe you just quit like so many. Someone else will do it. You know, if we all did a little, then nobody'd have to do a lot. But truth of the matter is, and I've heard it said, and I don't know where the statistics come from, but it's true of humankind. It's usually a small minority that's doing the majority of the labor. God set this thing up that if we'd all work together, it would not only be easier, it would be joyful. Some of you are just missing out on the fun. This guy's smiling all the time. He's the hardest working guy I ever met, and he's happy about it. That's why I like being around him. It teaches me to enjoy my salvation. Maybe some of you, if you'd yield yourself servants this morning, you'd enjoy your salvation more. That'd be a good thing to take care of now. And let's say it one more time. There's something you need to get right with God about. My soul, why would you put it off? If the Spirit of God is bearing witness to your heart, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what it is. Get honest with God, man. We can have us a meeting this week.
Yes.
But it's going to have to be a meeting between us and God.
Yes.
And it's going to have to be on His terms. And He is so patient and so merciful and so kind, and He's being kind right now. Let me say it one more time. If you're not saved, this would be a great day to get saved. Why don't you get that thing settled right now? Pastor, are you coming?